For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated.
I don't want to leave you, but it's time for me to retire. You're my last little girl.
No!
Baby. Baby. I need you to remember everything I told you, okay?
Okay.
You remember what I told you?
You were kind. You were smart. You were supported.
That's right, baby girl.
Mae Mobley was my last baby. In just 10 minutes, the only life I knew was done. God says we need to love our enemies. They're hard to do. But it can start by telling the truth. No one had ever asked me what it felt like to be me. Once I told the truth about that, I felt free.
Are you familiar with that movie, The Help? Okay, it's based on a book by Katherine Stockett. It's about an inspired author, Skeeter, in the 1960s, who decides that she wanted to write a book detailing the African-American maid's point of view of raising white babies and taking care of white families during the time of the Civil Rights Movement. And so Abilene Clark, Viola Davis, who you saw in this clip, was taking care of Mae Mobley, the little girl in the window. And one of the things that Abilene is teaching is he was kind, he was smart, he was important. Can't say it without that accent. It's awesome. Teaching this, and so I was thinking about this movie, and I was thinking about Beatitude, and I was thinking about All Saints Sunday, as we come together to talk about about loss and thinking about Abilene as well. You could see in that clip and you could hear her talking. This is the end of the movie, spoiler alert, sorry. The end of the movie where she is fired for telling the truth, which ends up in this book. And so you could hear her words saying that this is the only life that she has ever known, that Mae Mobley will be her last baby. There will be no other jobs for her to take. Loss of everything for her. And you could see in Mae Mobley's face as she is screaming and crying and pounding at the window, a loss of love in her life, saying goodbye to someone who she knew truly loved her, maybe the only one in that family that she knew truly loved her. You can see the pain. You can hear the loss. And so I wondered about other losses that we have experienced in our lives, and I was reflecting on one of the commentaries that my seminary professor wrote about the Beatitudes, and he says that loss takes all forms and shapes. For some of us, it could be the loss of leaving for a new job and a new home. You leave behind your colleagues and your friends and maybe your family, and you start something different. For some of us, it's the slow loss of a loved one to Alzheimer's. For some of us, it could be loss of employment or loss of dignity, which seem to go hand in hand in our culture today. For some of us, it might be a struggle with illness in our body or in our mind. For some of us, it's the exhaustion of caring for a special needs child or the exhaustion of having a newborn baby. For some of us, it could be a disappointment at home, at school, at work, of dreams deferred and hopes dashed. It seems in the last couple of weeks, more and more people that I talk to outside of the church are telling more and more about their loss of trust and faith that there actually is a God because of the hurt that they have received through religion and church institutions, a loss of a community. Think about the loss that you have experienced in the last year, or the loss of other people's loss that you have seen as you've journeyed with family and friends. How might our passages today speak to those losses and help us to live in and through them? Abilene Clark, she said, it took telling the truth of what it means to be me. Telling her story in open vulnerability gave her a sense of freedom. And that story for her included teaching a little girl, you is kind, you is smart, you is important. What if our scripture today says to you, you are blessed, you are beloved, you are more important than you realize? What if we hear those words of promise as we think of blessed are you? Blessed are you not to be immune from loss that's happening in our lives, but blessed are you as you struggle, as you live in these moments. Jesus, in our gospel today, as we heard, his fame was growing and the people that were gathering around him were brought for healing. The sick, the oppressed. That is who he was surrounding himself with today as he began to speak the Sermon on the Mount, these Beatitudes. And these are the people that he is speaking about when he says, blessed are they. He's talking to the brokenness, to the excluded ones. All to say to his disciples that when you think about blessing, think about the sick and the oppressed and the orphaned. These people are to receive this designated blessing from Jesus as well. And all of these situations aren't easy. None of them really are. But we are invited to remember moments of God moving in our lives, even in the midst of the struggle. To tell our story in the midst of a hard time. That you are blessed. You are happy. And not necessarily the rah-rah kind of happy that we think of, but happy as you rest and trust in this deep sense that things are taken care of. This sense of fullness, of contentment, of joy, that looks like and possibly transcends ordinary happiness. This knowing and trusting in God's promise that God will be with you, attending to you and to all of God's people in this time of need and in times of struggle. Because God sees and knows what weighs down your heart today. Whether that's depression or addiction that oppresses us, the sadness, the loss, the challenges we are facing, the uphill struggles that we are contemplating, God sees and honors and blesses and accompanies. Oftentimes that accompaniment is bringing people into our lives to be a part of that struggle, to be able to share your story with, to be able to remind us of our story, that we are blessed and beloved. And more important than we realize. This is what John is telling us in his letter, 1 John, today, that we are children of God. This is the promise given to us. Blessed, beloved, cherished, one of a kind. And God is doing great things through you, whether you realize it or not. Now, I know that we can all think of that intellectually and say, yeah, Pastor Jennifer, I got it, move on. But I wonder how often we actually revel in that element of our identity. Because no matter what we say and feel about ourselves, the most important thing about our identity is that we are beloved children of God. No matter what we say or we feel about ourselves, the most important thing about us is that we are loved by God. That our true identity is not measured by our accomplishments or our failures, our wealth or our poverty, our abilities or disabilities, our physical appearance or limitations. Our true identity is that we receive unconditional love from God. And how often is it easy to forget that? Because let's face it, life is crazy busy. Right? Okay, maybe just my life is crazy busy. But I'm guessing our lives are really busy. And how often do we take the time to acknowledge that we are God's beloved children? Let alone dive deeply and dwell deeply within that fact that God loves us so much that God went to great lengths for us. Most of us, I would guess, day in and day out, don't feel much like beloved children. I would guess that some of us don't believe we should be, could be, or really are even loved. And I would guess that some of us, in our disbelief, we don't act knowing and trusting in this love. Yet God loves us anyway. That's the heart of this gospel. That's what John reminds us when he says, "See, the love of the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." Yes, God loves us that much. Not because of what we've done or what we may do, but just because of who we are in being God's action figures. Because we are children of God. But mostly because of who God is. So imagine what it would be like if we lived each day imagining that we were having this conversation with God.
You is kind, you is smart, you is important. You is smart, you is kind, you is important. Oh, that's so good.
What would it be like imagining touching the face of God or God touching your face and saying, "You are beloved. You are blessed, and you are more important than you realize."